Hey guys, this is Ishai Breslauer and welcome to the CRE Shark Eye Show, where we discuss commercial real estate. On Mondays, we dive deep into an asset class, and on Thursdays, we go into some inspirational stories for the weekend. Can't wait to start. Let's go. Hey guys, before we continue, I would like to introduce you to the 7-Day CRE Challenge, which will introduce you to commercial real estate and will show you that anyone can do this. Also, I have the free cheat sheet for commercial real estate with the 6 best secrets for commercial real estate. You can download it free. Just click below or above, wherever it is, and get it. Let's continue. Hi, guys. This is Ishai Breslauer, the host of the CRE Shark Eye Show. Welcome, guys. And today we're going to talk about the office market. We've spoken about so many asset classes in the past few weeks and what's going on with the post-pandemic, or you could call it during pandemic situation, because we're still in it. We're still in the whole situation and nobody really knows when we're going to come out of it. So just a quick overview today, that's what we're going to do today. So I'm listening to Yahoo Finance, right? And their prediction basically is talking about the first half of 2021, which is going to be pretty much the same or what we have experienced until now. And then you have the second half of 2021, which is basically predicted to be to have a recovery. We predicted to have something positive, something good coming out of it, you know, some light in the end of the tunnel. That's what we should see, according to that prediction. And I'm asking, is it really? You know, because if I'm looking back a year ago, did you think that we're going to be where we are now? Did you think that you are not going to work in your office, that you're going to go and have a home office? So the predictions are, I don't know, because if we're talking about all the mutants and if the vaccine is going to work and now we're going to work, I took the shot. I'm immune, call it whatever you want. But would it help? I'm assuming it is. But the question is, how fast would it be? Would it beat all the other variants, whatever it's called, of the coronavirus, of the COVID? I have no idea. But it's a fact of the matter. It's a fact of the matter that on one hand, we have the CEOs who want everyone to go back to the office, right? We want them to go back to the office because they need the control, and that's the right thing to do. They need to be able to control their company to make sure that the quality of work that they produce in their companies is actually at the top level. And being, you know, working with people, it's obviously a lot better to have people next to you and around you that you can know, that you know what they do. And not only that, but the interaction in the office has a huge advantage. But let's go over a couple of things. Let's discuss this a little bit, okay? So I'm reading, I think it was the Wall Street Journal, Jones Lang LaSalle Incorporation, okay? And they are an office titan. That's what they do. They are office, commercial real estate office, focused on office, on the office market. And they move and they pivot. Listen to this. They pivot to move to invest in the income producing of single family homes that has that capacity of home offices with a company called Roofstock. That's what they do. So it shows something. It shows that because investments are relying on the prediction of what's going to happen. That's what investment is, basically. And if they are predicting that office is going to stay in trouble and they move or they take away a portion, I don't know exactly how much and what, but take away a portion of their focus from the office market and they put it in housing, that is huge, especially single-family homes. And commercial real estate investors are known to be most times against that type of investment of single-family homes. They're not into that for good reason. The risk, you know, the risk, risk reward, the whole calculation of single family homes is so problematic when it comes to those adjustments, risk adjustments. But still, we see now that there's a huge boom for it. And there's a huge need for it, and that's a proof that there's probably something going on. And maybe we can't be too optimistic. We can't go and think, okay, office is going to go back soon. How soon and where? So here are a few numbers just throwing at you, you know, the few numbers that we're talking about, okay? So industrial vacancy, and that's by JLL, okay? Drops to half, okay, of office market. Let me give you the numbers, okay? So the third quarter of 2020, according to JLL, was 6.8% of vacancy in the warehouse market, in the industrial warehouse market, okay? It's down the fourth quarter of 2020, it went to 5.9%. 6.8, 5.9% down, okay? Less vacancy, more demand, everything's happening in warehousing, okay? Wait, that's not all. Office vacancy rate is at 11.7. Again, I'm repeating that. Office vacancy is at 11.7% vacancy, and that is in January, and that is the highest in 29 years, okay? That's the highest in 24 years, I'm sorry. In 24 years, that's the highest, according to where I read. I can't remember where I saw it, but basically, that is, I think it's by JLL. But anyways, this is crazy. This is unprecedented. And those numbers are showing that, you know, warehousing, we spoke about this, the need of warehousing, the need of the e-commerce revolution, what do they need in order to expand? And that's, the answer is warehousing. That's where everybody's going to expand. That's where everybody is going. And everybody's moving out of the office. So again, with all due respect to the CEOs and the titans and organizations that want to have their employees coming back to the office, and many of them are in the office, but I think that what we thought is temporary, the whole home office environment, obviously it's not going to be a full-time home office. People will need to go back to the office. But having all that said, listen to this. We got used to stuff. I just had a conversation today with a friend, and I go to the synagogue. And he said, even though according to our Jewish laws, you know, it's obviously a huge thing to go to the synagogue. It's a holy place, just like for other people to go to the mosque or church or whatever. And he said, you know what? I got used to it. I'm cool with that. I can go with it my entire life. And I'm asking myself, wait a second, could this be true also for people who don't want to go to the office? Don't want to go to the office. They want to stay at home and work from home. And I'm one of those guys. Okay, I'm one of those guys who work for most time from my house, and all those podcasts and the meetings and Zoom meetings. I will not get out from my chair for a meeting unless I know this is real and this is necessary and vital. Okay, in the old days is a year ago. I would jump for a meeting. I would go meet. Meeting is a huge thing. Meaning there's a huge advantage to meetings, face-to-face meetings. Don't understand me wrong. I'm not against it. There's a huge advantage for it, meaning, because the personal connection cannot be beat. Meaning you can't, the Zoom you can go far with Zooms up to a certain point, but you can't go farther than that. It's not going to go farther than that. There's a limit to what Zoom can do for you in terms of a meeting versus the real meeting that can give you so much more. There's a limit for that. But at the same time, how many meetings have we done in the past and we wasted our time? We got up in the morning, And today, I look at it such a different way. You know, getting up in the morning, doing whatever we need to do in order to get up. Some people go to pray, some people go running first, and some then the shower, then the food, then, you know, breakfast or whatever you eat, whatever you do, that rituals. If you read a book, if you wake up at 5, wake up at 6, doesn't matter. You have that thing, and then you go to work. And then comes the commute to work. And I always quote Warren Buffett saying that he works is they call him the Oracle of Omaha, right? He gets up in the morning and he drives 5 minutes to the office, and he puts that as a one of the biggest advantages in his life. That's an incredible thing. And that's a huge advantage. We knew that when we started taking open spaces, going less into the center. You know, if we are suburbans, you know, we're sitting in suburbia, going less into the, you know, the downtown office. But right now, that's a huge thing. Getting up in the car, getting into the car, or going in the subway. Add the pandemic aspect to all that, to the time, commute, pandemic risks. Why do that? Why go? Why get up in the morning, do everything we do, and then get dressed and go to the office? I still think we should get you should dress to success. You should still feel you are in an office, walking from the room to sit in your office at home office, and actually do that. It's important to get into the to get your psyche into this into the zone of work, zone of business, getting to, how do you say, dress to success, this whole thing. But getting into the car, or getting into the subway, or going into this system, the whatever system you use, the time of commute became such a burden and such a thing that you say, okay, I'm going to go now to a meeting. I'm going to drive from there to here, here to there. Well, I can take in at the same time that I have two meetings, I can have seven or eight because I don't have to drive anywhere. And out of those eight, if one of them becomes more serious and more real, then I can go and take it to the next level and go to that meeting because that would be a closing. That would be real. That would be a business, real business. Okay? So that's another thing. I want to touch another thing. For example, the cold storage sector. Again, cold, refrigeration, whatever, all that stuff. There are no vacancies. They have zero vacancies. Okay? Almost none. Okay? It's led by food retailers and the pharmaceutical companies. So there are sectors that are booming, that are doing so well. Is it coming on expense of the expense of the office? I don't think these are particularly coming in the expense of the office, but it shows that the world is shifting, the world is changing, our mindset is changing. And yes, I think we will go back to the office, but today, as opposed to what I thought 6, 7 months ago, I believe that the office environment in the next 3 years is going to be very different. Yes, we will go back to the office. Yes, there will be office. The office will recover gradually, but it's going to be a slower recovery, I believe, than what we thought it would be. Why? Because we got used to working from home and producing. In the end of the day, we need to produce because we have families, because we need to pay rent, because we need to pay bill, we have to pay your bills, and that's the way it is. So that's a huge thing. Okay? It's time for buyers and tenants. It's a buyer market. If you are a buyer and you have deep pockets, if you're a family office, if you're an investment group that have deep pockets and the fund need to put money and it's patient capital that does not require immediate, positive, spectacular NOI, okay, this is your time to go shopping. An office market can show tremendous opportunities that we didn't have before. So this is the time to go and shop. Not only go and buy, because you can bargain for it, you could go and get a great deal from someone who's under stress or under pressure, or his LTV is too high, his leverage is way too high, and the bank will be happy to have you, if you have deep pockets, to go and say, listen, I don't want the 90% guy. I prefer having a 70% guy and have more equity in the deal. Bring me the equity. I'll get this guy out. All either it's a foreclosure or short sale, whatever it is, or I'll convince him to get out and you can come in. So that's one way to do it. But the other way to do it is also for, it's the time for the big firms. Big corporations. Big corporations could come in and say, I want a great space for the future because the offices will be back gradually, but my corporation requires people to be in the office. So let's say I have a big corporation. I want people to be in the office, give and take, 3 times a week in the office or 4 times a week in the office, okay? And the rest, they can be home. 3 times a week in the office, the rest you can be home. But at least I have some control over people and some environment, some office life and culture around the office that's where I want them to be. That's where I want the people, my employees, that's where I want them to meet. That's where I want to see them interact, have those meetings that are important, etc. Cool. For those corporations, this is the time, and that's what they're doing now, is go and get the best deal. It's tenant market, they're coming in, they're saying to those office owners that are dying to have, show the banks that I have a tenant. Maybe he's not paying now, maybe he's paying a lot less now, but it's such a deal that gives those tenants an opportunity to have an office and a spectacular deal. So yes, office valuations will be down. Yes, office will not go back to where it was so fast. It will eventually, but not so fast. People got used to it. Corporations got used to it. And that's the way it is. So when we look at that market, we have to look at all the aspects. Now, what I want to talk about is the shift in the location of big offices. Like, for example, I spoke about this in the past, about Goldman Sachs and their probable move. I don't know what's happening now, but probable move to Florida. But let's speak about, for example, Blackstone is moving is not maybe moving their headquarters to Florida, but they're opening a huge hub in Florida. Florida is being, they already were a big hub for business, but now they're becoming a huge hub for business. It's going to be the second New York. And if New York will not bounce back fast, nothing to do with politics, but if policy will change, it's, business-wise, New York will take more time to bounce back. I believe New York will bounce back, but I believe it will take 4 to 5 years to bounce back. That's not a small amount of time for that kind of a city to bounce back. 4 to 5 years, I believe. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it will be 2 years. Some people say, oh, next year we're in a different place. Okay, I think that is a little too much, but I believe that New York will be back, not before 4 to 5 years from today. And that's why Florida is taking a huge cut from New York and those big cities. Okay, so that's another thing. Another thing that I want to talk about is basically the different types of offices. The suburban offices versus the city offices. The high-rise building offices. We all know them, right? Because in the high-rise building offices, and I just, I had a few interviews that are very interesting about this, but basically, in the high-rise office market, you have the pandemic all over it, right? The pandemic is like big cloud that is sitting on it and saying, problem touching elevator, buttons, getting into the building, you need all those type of solutions, some technological solutions, whatever it is, in order to be able to get into the office and to come into the office. And by actually having the location in the large cities like New York City, like Los Angeles, like all those places, having those places there, the location of those offices, and particularly I'm talking about New York City right now, people don't live in the city as much as they used to. You have those who stayed in the city, but I hear left and right, front and center, a lot of people are moving out of the main, out of New York City. They're going to Florida. They're going to the, they're going to the Five Towns. They're going elsewhere. Some of them are moving to another state completely. Some of them moved to Texas. Okay. Some of them moved to Idaho. People are moving. People are going away. And they're not staying in the city. That affects also the office market. So the offshoot, those aftershocks of the pandemic are huge, are tremendous. And that gives the huge advantage to those suburban offices, which has which have a different type of a setting. You could park the car and go in and have less touch of elevators and people, and maybe it's more spread out, right? It's more of a setting that allows you to be less in the office. It's not a commute that gets you through the subway. You can drive in your own car privately and get into that setting. So that's a much more convenient type of a thing. So office, bottom line, is a big question. I don't think it's coming back that fast. I think it will take more time, with a big distinction and big difference between the suburban offices that would have a lot more success, also gradual, but a lot more success than those big city high-rise offices. We are expecting to have this situation going further for a little while longer than we thought it will be. It will stay there and it will recover, but we're still there. With that, guys, I'm going to tell you goodbye. I'm going to see you guys next time. Take care. Hey, guys, thanks for joining me in this CRE Shark Eye Show. I hope you enjoyed it. And go subscribe, download, do whatever you guys need to do. And I'll see you in the next episode. Take care of yourselves.